4 a.m.
Yeah. It's 3 a.m. Yeah, same as that there.
I'm saying this on tape. I hate to admit it, but you were right.
I was right. Yeah, I know I was right. Which staff are we on?
You are on
Yudalma base. Okay, that's Halacha Gimel, right? Okay, Elu Kelim. Now, it's a decided change of pace for this evening. First thing I'm going to speak about is Mesayei De'Arve Aveira. Okay, not to assist people who are going to commit Aveiros. Elu Kelim She'ena Uman Rashai L'Mochem B'Shvi'is. These are, therefore, the implements which craftsmen may not sell during Shemitah. Machresha, plow, v'chol kelan, all the accessories to a plow. Ha'ol, a yoke. V'amizareh, a tool for winnowing wheat. V'adeker, a hoe. Because all these things are obviously implements of Isser. Avamochru magiyar magok, but you can sell a hand sickle and a harvesting sickle, because it can be used to harvest the permissible crop, things which, you know, is growing for the sixth year, and it's permissible to be cut down in the seventh year. You can sell wagons, because although wagons might be used for prohibited purposes, they can be used for permissible purposes as well. Zakal, this is general principle. Anything which is specifically intended for the purpose of an Aveira, also is forbidden to sell. Is something which can be used both for permissible and prohibited purpose, and prohibited purposes is mutzer you may sell during Shemitah. Let's go to the Gemara. Rabbi Yoyner, Rabbi Yoyner said, Kini mas nisa, this is the way to read our Mishnah. Elu kelim she'en uman rashay l'mochorim b'shviz l'choshal shviz. These are the vessels of implements which a craftsman cannot sell Shemitah to a person who's suspect to transgress Shemitah. Staman mau. What about the person who we don't know whether he's suspect to transgress Shemitah or not? Mimai the tiny Israel heter mutter, from that which it says that if it's a potentially a implement which can use both for prohibited and for permissible purposes, that you're allowed to sell it. Hadamara, this tells us also to a person who is a question mark, who may or may not keep Shemitah, so you're allowed to sell these implements to such a person. Okay? So, Stam and Mutter, this teaches us that our Mishnah is specifically talking about a case where the guy who's coming to your store is a person you know is suspect to transgress Shemitah. You can't sell him farm implements. However, a person who you may not necessarily assume is going to transgress Shemitah, to such a person you may sell the farm implements during Shemitah.
In the Vozara, we had something similar, but selling to a guy the kalem of a village.
Right, the same idea. The same ideas apply. The same principles. So we're going to cross over a little bit here too. Hayotzer, going back to the Mishnah, a potter. He could sell in one shot 5 oil vessels and 5 wine vessels. Now they look differently. Oil has a larger mouth, wine has a narrower mouth because it pours easier. And oil and wine are containers also made from different types of clay. It's not clear exactly which type of clay each one, but they're recognizable, they're distinct. They're different uses of different have different types of pots. So you can sell 5 of each type. That's about the maximum you can assume a guy is going to go and find from Hefker grapes and Hefker olives, that amount, you know, 5 pitchers worth of each type. What if he found more than that? In other words, he got particularly lucky and he went out to the Hefker fields and found much more grapes and olives to make much more wine and oil. So mutter, in that case, he'll have to sell him even more pots. But you have to know for sure that he got in a permissible way. However, there's no quota. In terms of selling the goyim, you can sell the goyim both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz as many pitchers as you want. And one's going to ask, what's the chiddush? Let's go to the Gemara. V'chosh lomar shem yichliv says, well, wait a minute. How can you sell them 5 and 5, 5 oil and 5 wine? Maybe use all 10 for wine or all 10 for oil, right? In other words, you're assuming that he's going to use it for each one for its intended purpose. How do you know? Rabbi Yisrael, as I mentioned right in the Mishnah, they're recognizable. Elu shel yayin ve'elu shel shemen. These are wine and these are oil, and people generally do not switch them. Ula said, not only is the shape different in terms of the mouth of the vessel, but adra the ilain chakima, the material Adora is the clay. The material of these is recognizable. V'ador de Ilein Chakim, and the material of these are recognizable as well. So therefore one can tell the difference. And that is why one is allowed to sell 5 and 5. We're not going to use all 10 for either all wine or all oil. Okay? He might happen. It might happen, but the seller doesn't have to go that far as to be that paranoid as to assume that that's going to happen. Okay? Umokhe l'goyim chuz ba'aretz. You can sell to goyim in Eretz Yisrael. Afilu yesem mikan. Even more. Right? Even more than 10. L'Yisrael b'chutz la'aretz. And I think I read this wrong in the Mishnah. You can sell to goyim ba'aretz and Yisrael b'chutz la'aretz. And you can sell to Jew in Yisrael in chutz la'aretz. Now this what this means is if you're a wholesaler and you're selling to a middleman, so you can sell to the middleman who's going to chutz la'aretz as many pitchers as he wants, and you don't have to assume that if he doesn't find out people to buy in chutz la'aretz that he's going to come back and sell the rest of his stock in Eretz Yisrael. You just assume that he's going to sell it all in chutz la'aretz, and therefore I don't have to suspect that anything's going to go awry here. Okay? Let's go back to the Mishnah. Beisham Ramin Beisham says lo yimkar lo paro choreshes b'shvias. One is not allowed to sell a plowing cow to a Jew during Shemitah. Beisil Matir Beisil says mutter to sell a plowing cow b'nei shiochel shochta because he can shecht it. He doesn't necessarily have to plow with it. This is actually Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. Moichel lo peros, and you can sell him fruit afilu b'shas hazera, even at the time of planting, because we assume he's going to eat the fruit and not plant the seeds. Umach lo sales, and you can lend them a basket, a measuring basket, even though you know that he's got a silo and he might be using it to measure his grain, because maybe he's going to use it for sitting. Could be.
There's also come up in Bava Kama, but whether it's
that we're going to have the Gemara. The Gemara's going to bring it down. You looked ahead. I know you cheated. Okay. Uporet lo mos. And you can do money changing for him. Even though you know that he's got workers and he's paying off his workers, because maybe he's going to use the money for some other purpose. The kulam befeish. But in all these cases, if the buyer specified he wants the stuff to go be urban avera, he can't give it to him. Okay. Going back to the Gemara now. Itmar hamocher shor l'chaveiro. This is the Gemara from Baba Kama you're referring to. Some of you sells this classic Gemara. Everybody knows this Gemara. You sell an ox to your friend, and lo and behold, it turns out it was a goring ox. So Rav Amar Mekachtos, the Rav says it's a sale is null and void. Shmuel says Yochel Omar, v'Yochel Meimar, l'Shchita Mechatib Lo. Shmuel says, no, you can say I sold it to you for Shchita, right? Right? Ain't Ochim B'Mom and Achar Ro. We don't follow the majority, so you can sell. I thought you were from the minority who buys such oxen for Shchita. What are we talking about? Now this is not in the Bavli, I believe. This elucidation. What are we talking about? If you're selling to a sharecropper, so even Shmuel has got to concede. Even Shmuel's got to concede. Was sold for plowing. He's a sharecropper. He's buying for plow purpose. If he sold it to a butcher. Even Rav's got to concede the Shechita Machar. Elo Kenan Kayam. We're talking about the following case. Kshemach Lusayas is sold to an agent. So agents very generally buy for oxen to resell for plowing. But sometimes they resell to butchers. So Rav Amar Mekachtos, Rav says Mekachtos, because he wants to resell for plowing. Ushmul Amar Yochel Meimar. He can say the shechita mechati v'lach. I thought you were buying in this case to be an agent for a butcher. Now, as the Gemara, Michlevoshi Tosi the Rav, I have a kasha. It seems like Rav exchanged the shechita for another shechita, and Michlevoshi Tosi Shmuel, and so did Shmuel. In which case, how so? These palgun, we have a machlokas. This is a case which is familiar to us from Erechim. Morcholoi b'yovel atzmo. You sold the field to somebody during yovel itself. Now Rav Amar Konav Yetzim Yoda Behova. Rav says the buyer bought it and he's an idiot because he loses his money, right? Because he loses it immediately thereafter in Yovel. Ushmuel Amar Lo Konav. Shmuel says it's not a valid kenyan because there's no time for it to remain by the buyer. Now that seems to be the exact opposite of the shitas over here. Michlav Shitasi the Rav. This is a contradiction in Rav's shita. He seems to have exchanged his views. Tamunu Amar Konav. Over there, he says the acquisition is a valid acquisition. And you lose your pay, you lose your money, right? Okay, and here, he says, when you buy the ox, and it turns out to be a gora, it's a mechachtos. So why don't we say it's a mechachtos by Shemitah too? Let's say the sale falls through, just like it sails through, falls through by the ox. So says the Gemara. No. Taman Yovel Mefursamu. Everybody knows the halach of Yovel. So therefore, this buyer, he knew what he was getting himself into. That's why it's not a Mekachtos. Everybody knows Yovel. Everybody knows that. Pegam Hacha, but here, Mekachtos, here, who, here, he, you know, caveat emptor. He was supposed to know that the ox was a gorer. So therefore, he wasn't Mefursamu, wasn't known. So therefore, in this case, Rav says he gets his money back. Similarly, we ask the Kasha, Michlefa Shitasi the Shmuel. There's a contradiction. Shmuel, Shita, Shmuel seems to have exchanged his Shita. There Shmuel says, it's not about acquisition by Yovel. And here by the ox, he says, it is a valid acquisition. Says Mar, no, there's also not a Kasha. Taman by Yovel is a Dover Machrolo. For what did he sell? Lo Israel didn't sell for planting, and there's no capacity to plant. Because the sole use of a field is for cultivation. So therefore, there's no possibility of cultivation because it's Yovel going back immediately. It's a Mekachtos. That's it. The deal falls through. But here, there's another use for a cow. Perhaps an alternate use, a secondary use, but there's another use of a cow, Shechita. So therefore, here the seller can say, he can say to the buyer, I sold it to you for the other use, which is Shechita, and therefore here the deal is sustained. Now, name a Rav ki Beishamai. Let's say Rav holds like Beishamai, because Beishamai in our Mishnah said that Beishamai says you're not allowed to sell a plowing ox during Shemitah. And we still say it's okay because you can say it's for the purpose of Shemitah, right? So let's say Rav was like Beishamai, because Rav is saying that the deal falls through there. And here, that's similar to Beishamai over here. It says now the sum of ox, because he clearly intends to use it for plowing. But Shmuel is like Beis Hillel. Just like Shmuel says, the deal goes through over there because it's possible that he can use it for Shechita. So the Beis Hillel says the same thing in our Mishnah, that it's possible that it can be used for Shechita. That's more, no. Rav ki Beis Shammai. It could be Rav is like Beis Shammai. But if he will use Beis Hillel, but he can even know like Beis Hillel. Lei Surcha, Mishtaha, Mishhasa, Tlosin Yoimin. People, even when people buy an ox for Shechita, they don't check it right away. They leave it around for 30 days. They work with it for a while. They fatten up for a while. So Rav says, even if it's for the purpose of Shechita, it's still a Mekachtos. Why? Because within the time you're going to leave it around, Vana Klos and Yoimin, La Mekachtos, who for those 3 days is a Mekachtos. The guy says, I'm afraid I'm going to be running around my barnyard having to save myself from being gored by this ox. So therefore, Rav's holding, even if it's sold for the purpose of Shechita, it's still a Mekachtos. Because of the time span in the middle, when I'm going to keep it, I'm afraid to have a goring ox. None of this is in the Bavli.
Yeah, that's totally new.
Ushmur Kabesila. You know, this rationale for explaining Rav that he's going to leave it around for a long time is not in the Bavli, right? Ushmur Kabesila. And Shmur, it's great that Bekim and Shas here. Ushmur Kabesila.
No, just struggling. You're saying,
well,
I don't recall ever hearing
that.
It's such a nice spot.
Uh-huh. Shmuel Kabesila. And Shmuel is like Kabesila. True, sounds like Kabesila, that he says the sale might be for Shechita, but I feel he's more Kabeshamai. But he didn't vote like Kabeshamai. How so? In our mission, we're dealing with Sayyid de Evravera, we don't go with blinders. We say, Leis Urcha the Barnasha, make us tour the radio. Nobody is going to buy a plowing ox for the purpose of Shechita. It's not the normal way of a person to Barnasha, a person, make us to Shech, tour the radio, an ox which is intended for plowing. So every Shabbos says, you can't go with blinders like that. In our Mishnah, the stone, if he's buying the ox and it's a plowing ox, it's meant for plowing. And therefore it's Messiah, there of Raveri, you can't sell during Shemitah. Supposed to over there in Baba Kama, Beishamai can agree there that if you're buying an ox, you know, and it's not specified whether it's a plowing or slaughtering ox, then you can even then, could be that you agree with Shmuel, that I say, well, this buyer of sale says you didn't specify, so I sold you a ox which was intended for Shemitah.
So here, according to Beis Shammai, let's say the sale went through. It was based in void the sale, and
Well, the basin wouldn't void the sale. They didn't impose hefker basin hefker on it. But the guy transgressed an avero. He transgressed just the rabbanon of selling something which you shouldn't have sold. Umash lo se'asa. Do you have that header? Okay. You have Ravacha though, right? Ravacha, you could lend them your basket. Ravacha, Rabbi Tanchu, Barchiya, B'Shem, Rabbi Yochanan say, Hishu lo se'asa. If you lent them your basket, Uva matzo modid bon, you find him measuring it, it's measuring grain, drats, eno zokoklo. You don't have to, you're not, it's literally, you're not required to go to him and take it back to him. In other words, when you loaned it to him, there was a possibility of using it for davrater. You don't have to go and stand over him and make sure he's using it for the right purpose. Koshke maskir loan is certainly true if you rented it to him. You don't have to refund the rental fee and take back the measuring basket. Okay, I lock it out. Mashelos ishul chaverta. A woman lends to her friend hakashuda shvishvias, despite the fact that woman is suspect on shmita. Nafa, a type of sieve. A kvara is another type of sieve. The rechaim and a millstone. The tanur and an oven. Avelo tavor velo titchonim. Are you not allowed to grind or to sift with her? Why? Because that's say there of Ravir. So you can lend it to her. Because maybe she won't use it for forbidden commodities. But you can't do the work together with her. Okay? Similarly, Eishas chaver, a woman who is the wife of a Talmid Chacham, Mashal's teacher can lend to a woman who's namaritz nafo kvara, these different types of sieves, and boreris v'tochenes merakedes. This is not during Shemitah, any other year, and you can grind and sift and winnow with her. Avol mishitatil amayim l'tigel tzav. But once they introduce the water into the mixture, it's forbidden for them to knead the dough together. Why is that? Because what happens once you introduce water into the mixture? It becomes she's not moritz. We're afraid you're going to be metame the challah, which has not yet been taken out. So therefore, you're not allowed to be a sister in being metame the challah. The kulam and all this permissibility is element neidar kashom is only or to keep the peace among Jews. Magziki and they going b'shvius. We don't believe in that value anymore, right? Yeah. We don't believe in that value keeping peace. That's an archaic value. Okay, magziki and they going b'shvius. One is allowed to give chizuk to goyim during Shemitah. We had this earlier in Masechta Avloi Dei Yisrael, but not to Jews. B'sholem b'shloim, one can still say Shalom Aleichem, even if the Jews are not keeping Shemitah, b'mnei darkei Shalom, because of the pathways of peace. Rabbi Zira boi kumi Rabbi Mona. Rabbi Zira, going to the Gemara. Rabbi Zira asked in front of Rabbi Mona. Masnisa b'stam. I think, it seems to me that this mission is where you don't know that the woman's going to use these implements for Shemitah stuff. But if she specifies to the lender, I want to borrow this stuff to make Shemitah stuff, so then it's forbidden. Says more of a stama lav kefeirushu. Says more Omar Lay, sorry. So he said to him, how can you say this? Is it obvious that regardless, even if she didn't specify it, what else is she going to use it for? She's going to use it for grain, right? You don't use these kelim for other things. So therefore, Rabbi Mona is countering to Rabbi Zira and saying, I don't agree with you. You're assuming that there's a dichotomy between where she specified she's going to use it for grain, and where she didn't specify, it's obvious she's going to use it for grain. That's what these implements are used for. So our Mishnah must have been matir, even where she specifies she's going to use it for grain, because of the overriding value of Darkei Shalom. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Zira responded, no. Rabbi Zira doesn't appear here, but it's Rabbi Zira responding. Ani Omer, I'll tell you, our Mishnah Takatoy about only when it's stam, not when it's mefurish. Hi, if it's stam, so what? You still know she's using it for grain? No, she's not. Nopa, she's using lispar. It could be she's using the large sieve to count her grain, lispar bamos, to count her money. Kivara, the small sieve, lichbar bachol, to sift sand for gold, whatever. Mechaim, she's using the millstones to come in some money to grind herbs for ointments. Tanur, maybe she's using the oven litmon to literally means to preserve, but here means to bleach. lead mumbo owning shalpish in order to bleach bundles of flax. So Rabbi Zira is saying not necessarily, saying could be, it's only mutter b'stam because it's true that it's outlandish, but there's a possibility, remote possibility, she's using it for one of the permissible purposes. But where it's definitely for the other purposes, you can't give it
just
to.
Just like when we had a previous mission about the cow or the ox being possibly used for sport instead of for...
Right. Same idea here. That's right. Here it's even more remote, though.
More
right.
Remote.
It's even more remote, but still with that, we need that possibility. Right, Pinchas boy. Right, Pinchas asked, but Mekonsu, to what extent, when we're talking about these people to whom you're not allowed to lend stuff, or you have to be careful what you lend them, who are we talking about? B'malkam shezorin, and it's ve'ochlin, but it should be o, really. Okay, even though there's no corrections here. But it means, is it a place where people are suspect to plant, and even if they're not supposed to plant, as long as they're suspect to eat, that's sufficient? Now bear in mind, to plant during Shemitah is Nisa Daraisa. You're being Messiah, somebody who's planted during Shemitah, you're being Messiah, people are translating Yisrael in Daraisa. To eat Shvi's fruit improperly, whether it be Svichim, stuff which grew during Shemitah, which you're not allowed to eat, we learned yesterday, you weren't here, that stuff which goes wild during Shemitah, its entire growth was during Shemitah, didn't start growing at all during the sixth year. It's forbidden, and it's not a fruit, it's a grain or a vegetable. You're not allowed to eat. Midrabanan. It's a rabbinic prohibition. Less people go and start planting stuff. Okay? So that's only this is the Rabbanan. So are we machmir, even a place where they're not being zoreh, but they're being ochel? And therefore, we're machmir, we're prohibited to be misayeh de avera, even a people who are just transgressing the avera de Rabbanan of eating shvi'is commodities? Or are we talking about mokom shezorin? And not a place, v'lochlin. In other words, a case where specifically the Issa D'Oraisa is in effect, not just the Issa D'Rabbanan. Manafik mi beno, what's the difference between the two approaches? I'll tell you what the difference is. Ro osa lokech min asirki, if we saw the person who's borrowing the implement buying the grain from an Arab merchant. Oh, and he's for sure not, so he didn't plant it. There was no Issa D'Oraisa involved here. If you're talking about a place where it's either they plant or even they eat, even this is the Rabbanan, Roso Lokech Min Asirki, if you talk about, see, even though you saw him buy the grain from an Arab, also, it's forbidden to participate, to lend them the implements, because you're say they have error. But if it was saying specifically people are transgressing this is the Raisa, or planting during Shemitah, for Lokech, it's not sufficient in a place where they're just eating Shemitah fruit. Roso Lokech Min Asirki, as long as we know he bought the grain, even if it's prohibited grain, Mutzi allowed to assist them. Because again, they only prohibited to assist them when they're transgressing this of the right, so now they're only transgressing this of the Rabbanan. Okay? So is that clear? Okay, Misei, they're Rever, it's only where they're transgressing this of the right, so now they're only transgressing this of the Rabbanan.
Is that a general principle?
No. As a matter of fact, I don't think we pass them this way. Yeah. Well, we paskin even in Messiah by Nisan Rabbanan is also. In other words, we paskin even in a place where Oakland by itself, that's also. You don't have that header, but I do. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina boy. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina asked, I'll call Pirkei when it said that everything here is Mutukos Adakashom is the entire parak. Or Hadot Ilchasa Yisamra. Or is it specifically on this last thing about the Eishes Chaver and the Eishes Amor, it's the two wives. Who cares? So nafkamina is if there's no Darkei Sholem involved, right? So is it like, let's say the previous things, the previous case where you're allowed to sell the oxen in cases like that, we didn't say there it's because of Darkei Sholem. So let's say there's a case where there's no Darkei Sholem, you're allowed to do it anyway, right? Well, he's not going to hate you if you don't do it. Are you allowed to do it in any way? The pathways of peace, to maintain peace among Jews. The archaic value we were speaking about before. Are we here when we mentioned that archaic value?
You just walked in.
Yeah, well, there used to be a value to keep peace among Jews. Okay, once upon a time. Okay. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina boy, I'll call Pirkei Yitzharmas to that principle behind all the halachas in Perek, or Adoy Echosaka Yitzharmas, so specifically on this last halacha. Rabban in the case, sorry, B'Shem, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Titas said, Min ma de lo taninan begitin elohada hilchasa, since only this last mentioned Mishnah is mentioned in Masech the Gittin, in Perek HaNizokin, among the things which have to do with Darkei Shalom, it's a long list of things you have to do with Darkei Shalom. Not allowed to steal from a cotton, even though it's not really a stock because of Darkei Shalom. Other things because of Darkei Shalom. So this is the only thing which is mentioned again. So from this we derive that the only thing which is based on Darkei Shalom is this last halacha of grinding together with a woman who's the wife of an Amoritz. But all the previous halachas apply, allowed to sell them implements, etc., even if there's no Darkei Shalom value involved at all. Okay? Talmud Tanin, we learned over there. Nachtum Shu'esa B'tumah, a baker who's baking his stuff in Tumah. It's being Matami the Chala, of course. Lo Lashin was not allowed to knead V'lo'orchimo nor make the bread with him, nor design the bread. The title we learned Lo Borin V'lo Tochni. Of course, you're also not allowed even to sift, nor to grind, nor to clean the flour with him. So ask the kash. In our mission, it says that the Eishes Chaver can help the Eishes Amoritz in all the stuff which is done while it's still dry, before the water comes in. Yet here it's saying with the baker, you now have to help him even in the dry stages, when he's borer or tochen or marakit, which is still when the grain is dry. So what's the difference that here we're more machmir by the baker? So first the Gemara says a very strange answer. The Gemara immediately will reject it. Amar Rabbi Law said, kan chulin kan l'truma. We're in our mission to talk about where the Maoritz's wife and the Chover's wife are dealing together in chulin. And that's why they could participate together in the dry stage. The baker is baking truma bread. And therefore we're more machmir. We don't even allow anybody to help him in the earlier stage, the stage when it's still dry.
Seems like a simple distinction is one's a professional and one's just a housewife. And a housewife, there's more of an issue with Darkei Shalom. Would it help somebody who wants to do commerce?
That's a very interesting answer, but the Gemara doesn't give it.
Yeah.
It sounds good. I like it. Simple,
yeah.
Put it on the side of your text.
Is it possible also that the woman, the wife of the Amoritz, is only a Suffolk Tarmac?
All these answers are possible. That's also a good answer. Gemara does not give it, though. Gemara gives a different answer, which is not a bad one. You have to give the Gemara credit. So it says, first of all, Gemara discards this one. The Gemara says, come on. You don't have the next three words, I think, but V'atnina nachtom. We're talking here about a baker. Now, Islach lemeimar nachtom b'truma. Bakers are baking truma bread. Kohanim bake truma bread. There's no commercial truma bakery. You can't be talking about bakers baking truma. Get out of here. So says Mar, rather, Chavraya Army, they said, in answering why the Nachtom is different, Kambalosis. So about a case where they moisten the grain, well, it's still grain. And you should know that this is a major problem in modern-day matzah baking. All commercial grain now is moistened while it's still grain, prior to its being ground. That's why they have to separate special matzah flour from the time of harvesting and not put it through the regular processing, because they actually moisten it. So therefore, it's already roi l'kabel tumah prior to its grinding.
It's been cut, it's been harvested, and it's lying in a... and they spray it.
Yeah. I was told to remember learning this many years ago when in 1967, I was 5 years old. No, 1969. I was 7 years old. Right, we went to Israel. It was the first time I went to Dagon plant in Haifa. I haven't been back since. And Dagon plant is where all the grain comes into Israel. And they moisten it as it comes in. All the grain is moistened before they process it, the raw grain. It makes it easier to process. So that's a big problem for matzahs and for tumah, right? Because then it's already mushal kabel tumah. So all commercial grain is moistened prior to the grinding. Okay, so that's why by nachtom it's different. It depends if it's already been moistened or not, and by nachtom it's already more moistened. Masnisa mesayel chavraya is a brisa which is a raya for the chavraya who drew this distinction. The tanan of a mishatati umayim actually our Mishnah is the raya. The Tanai, because in the Mishnah, Mishatati Maim, once the water is introduced, Lotigai, so you can't touch together with it, with the woman who's the Amoretz, Shema, Zikin, Derevere, you cannot help those people who transgress Averis. So you see that the moisture is the issue in question. Okay, Viter. Now I have a header here. Magziki and Degoim. One is allowed to fortify the Goim. Now from here to the end of the parak, it's Gemara we had already before. In the fourth parak, Rabbi Chiyah, Rabbi Ami, Chad Amar once said, what does it mean to be Magzik Goim? To Sechad Amar, Charosh Botavu, we had this on Sunday. Charosh Botavus. Plow it well. But a nasiv lo minach b'sar shmita, and I'll buy for you at the shmita. You even have to say that to a goy who's working for sure during shmita. The charin amar, the other one say you're not allowed to say that, but you are allowed to say ayasher. You should have more strength. Mad the mar chorish botavos. According to opinion, who says that you can tell a goy plow well? Mashalim b'shalim b'shleima. To what extent can you wish well to a Jew who's working during shmita? To even the extent of saying him ayasher, may you have more strength. He who says that by a goy are allowed to say is ayasher. My shalom shalom. To what extent can you say give shalom to a Jew? Give shalom Yisrael, like any two Jews give shalom to each other. Shalom aleichem. Dilma, we have a meiser. Rab Chanina bar Papa Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani over Nachami Choshe Shviz. They passed by somebody who was plowing during Shmita. Amalei Rav Shmuel bar Nachman said, Shmuel bar Nachman said, so the Jew is transgressing Shmita. Ayasher, may you have more strength. Amalei Rav Chanina bar Papa said, Chanina bar Papa said, Lokin Ilfen Rabbi, didn't you teach us Rabbi? V'lom ruah ovrim birkas Hashem aleichem. The passersby did not bestow the blessing of God upon them. Mikach Osul Amar al for you who drive, you're not allowed to tell those who plow during Shemitah, may you have more strength. So he said to him, to reap sukim, you know. You don't know. You're an Amoretz. The law over him rather refers to Elu Umosa Olam. You don't have the words Umosa Olam, right? These are the Goyim Shomayon, those who pass through the world, are going to pass from the world. The Goyim are transient in this world. They weren't Mevarech upon us. They weren't Mevarech us. They didn't say to the Jewish people, Birkas Hashem Aleichem, may the blessing of God be upon you. My Sohomilam, what did the Jews say to them? You fools! Barchenu Yitchem Hashem Hashem, bless us in the name of God. Don't you realize, though the Eichem is not sufficient, Shekhar Brachas Abosalam, all the blessings comes to the world, they be Shusain, that for us, Venatar Mahomri Malonu, don't you, why don't you come and say to us, Bo Vitol Lachemina Brachasal, come and take from our bounty, for the Gashmias, in order that you should give us from the Ruchnias. Not only that, not only don't you give us from your bounty, from the Gashmias, Vlod Elishat and Magalgi Malenu, but you put upon us, Paisin, Vizimos, Zimios, Vigugolios, Varnonios, all sorts of unfair taxes. You are fools. You don't realize what we provide with you when you're not reciprocating in kind. Okay, new parak, maps. That's one map. That's two maps. That's three maps. My favorite subject in school was always geography. I always dreamt of becoming a cartographer when I grew up. Didn't happen. But from the Kavanaki. From the back. That's fold out. Yeah. No, this is the actual size. It's a fold out. Okay. All right. Shosh Arotzos L'Shviz. There are three types of land vis-a-vis Shemitah. Three types of areas, I should say. Koshir Ziku Ole Bavel Me'eretz Yisrael Vak Ziv. Now, map Aleph. That's the section which has, by coincidence, little Aleph in it. Do you see that Aleph? The Aleph of the circle? That's Eretz Yisrael proper. That was conquered both by those who came up from Egypt and by Shishon, and those who came up from Bavel and by Sheni. Okay, they conquered that whole area. So there, lo ne'achal, you're not allowed to eat svichim there, and anything which goes as lishur shvitz, lo ne'avan, you're not allowed to do any work there during Shemitah. That's all the way from Kadesh Barnea in the south to Kziv in the north. Koshir Ziv, now the next level of land is...
That's the city mentioned in Gittin.
Yeah. That's the city mentioned in Gittin. We're going to have the parallel sukkah here. V'kol she'ichziku olim Mitzrayim miksivad ha'nahor v'ha'amanah. All that the only Mitzrayim in Bayis Rishon, they conquered two additional areas. Those are the area which extends northeast, past Damascus, towards the Euphrates River. You see that whole area over there? Where the Beis and the Gimel are, right? Beis Gimel above. And then there's another strip, which is on the seashore, which has little Dalet next to it, which goes up the coast of Lebanon, perhaps even all the way up to the southern boundary of Turkey, although that's not clear. Okay? So those two areas are the area zone B in terms of Shemitah, and there, Nechal, there's no Kedusha Shviyas to any of the produce. Avalo Nev, I've been not allowed to work there during Shemitah. Now, Minanahor, Minanamanavalifnim, that's the area between the two zones B. See, there's an area between the two zones B.
What?
Vaca Valley, right. So, Minanahor, Minanamanavalifnim, Nechal, that has no Kedusha Shviyas, you're allowed to eat there, there's no, and Nevad, you're allowed to work there as well. Okay? Now, Tanya, going to the Gemara. We're going to spend a lot of time on this geography. Tanya, we learned. Eila chukim, these are the laws. Eila midrashos, that's the medrash. The drashos which we learned. Amishpatim, eila dinim, those are the monetary laws. Asher tishmonu chushu, maintain zu mishnah. Lasos, to do zu maisa, those are things you have to do. Ba'aretz, in the land. Where are you chayv to do all these things? In the land of Israel. You're not chayv in all these mitzvahs in chutz laretz. Maybe I'll stay. The mitzvahs which are contingent on the land ain't no go sell barats. They only apply in Eretz Yisrael. What about mitzvahs which are not contingent on the land? Perhaps we'll even say them. Lo you no go sell barats. They only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, Yishomer lachem ben yivta levavchem. Be careful lest your heart go astray. V'gomer tzeder v'choraf Hashem b'chem. And the anger of God will come against you. V'gomer. And even after you're going to Golos, because Bechor Af Hashem is after Golos, right? That's the part of Shema which is after Golos. Nonetheless, V'samtem is Tvaya Eila Alevavchem. Should have my words on your heart. Afiluk Shatem Goylim, even when you're in Golos, V'samtem is Tvaya Eila, should have my words on your heart. What is that? What mitzvahs are those? Ma'islach, what it was referring to. Kigon, any mitzvahs which are parakin to Tfilin, the Talmud Torah, Mezuzah, which are all mentioned at the end of that parasha, right? Because at the end of the Yoshema, it mentions Tefillin, it mentions Talmud Torah, it mentions Mezuzah, right? Shein and Tluyim Boat, since they're not contingent on the land, Nogim Ben Boat, Ben Chutz, those apply both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Arts. I've called of our Shein, just like they are both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Arts, I've called of our, so to anything else, Shein Tolib Boat is not contingent on the land of Israel, who Noig Boat, Ben Chutz Arts, applies both to Eretz Yisrael and to Chutz Arts. Ask the Gemara, wait a minute. Me'ata. But if once we know that there's certain mitzvahs which are contingent on the land, Mishago, once the Churban by its mission occurred, you Peturim, maybe they should be exempt for all eternity. I don't know when they came back for Bayis Sheni, they became re-Mechuyav in the mitzvahs at Luis Boritz. I don't know that came up again. So says the Gemara, Ksiv, I'll tell you why. It says, Vayasu kol akohol, all the congregation who hashovi me'ashevi, who came back from the captivity of Babylon, in the time of seven days of Midrash, they made sukkahs. Now, this can't be referring to real sukkahs. Because look what it says. Vayeshu basukkahs, they sat in sukkahs, ki losu became mi'yemei Yeshua ben Nun came, and they saw the Yomazan. Because they had not done that since the time Yeshua ben Nun. So is that possible to say they didn't sit in sukkahs the time Yeshua ben Nun? It's not possible. So therefore, how does Yushami Dash's Apostle Josh is not in the Bavli? This, but the Yushami Dash's Apostle, that they made a sukkah of Shekhinah. They reconsecrated the land of Israel. Sukkah is sukkah stovin on a folis. They reconsecrated the land of with Shekhinah, and also means they made it holy again. So that's how we're dashing the pasuk. And when they came back from Babel, they reconsecrated the land and made it holy again. And mitzvahs that Luis Boretz all came back onto the land. Okay? That's what they did.
But that applies that the Kedusha of Eretz Israel left during the Gula.
During those 70 years it did.
Babel says that too.
Yeah. that for halachic kedusha, it lost during that time. Not, you know, not agadic kedusha, but halachic kedusha did.
The whole question in the Bavli, Shoshana, Kedusha, Shnia.
This is the same question, yeah.
Is it based upon a pasuk, just based upon logic?
No, it's based upon the next pasuk we're going to bring. Oh. Not this pasuk. This only the Yerushalmi brings. Okay. We're going to see another pasuk, which we'll see in a minute. But first, we're on a tangent. V'lama Yeshua. Why it say Yeshua without a hay? It's not nice. What happened today? Rabbi Hillel Braid, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmei, Shmuel Bar Nachmei, he said, Pagam HaKosov covered Tzadik Bekerer, we damaged the covered of the Tzadik who was already dead and buried, Yoshua, not because he did anything wrong, but we made covered Tzadik B'Shaito in order to enhance the honor of the Tzadik who was alive at the time, Ezra. In other words, he wanted to say that it wasn't putting Yoshua down so much as wanting to show how Ezra was chashuv, that he outshone Yoshua at this moment by bringing his, you know, bedraggled band of miserable people to Eretz Yisrael and resettling the land. Right? Yeah, religion. I hope a religious Zionist at least. Okay. Hikish biyasimi meyezu biyasimi Yoshua. Be as it may, there's a parallel being drawn between the time that came by Ezra and the time that came by Yeshua. Ma biyasimi Yoshua, between Rebbe Yitzchayev, this time when it came the time of Yeshua, originally they were exempt and then became Chayev. Even though the time goes above, they were exempt. Now, are you Nischayev, they became Chayev again. Mimani Schaivu, but when they became Chayev, to what extent did they become Chayev? Rabbi Yisrachin Amar Midvar Turin is Chayevu. Now already all the Chayuvim in Eretz Yisrael were their rights once more. How do you see Midashar from the following passage, which the Bavli does bring down? Ve'viyacha Hashem Elokech L'Eretz Asher Yoshua V'Secha V'Yivishto V'Gomer. God will bring you to the land which your forefathers conquered. It's my Yerusha Savosecha Midvar Torah, just like Yerusha your forefathers was the Raisa of Yerushalesh, so to your conquest is also Midvar Torah works Midvar Raisa. Not only that, Ve'tivcha V'yir B'chomei Avosecha, God will make you good and better than your forefathers. Meaning, Avosecha Torim Ayu Mischaivu. Your forefathers were exempt prior to the time they entered the land of Israel. They became chayiv. Vatem p'turim ma'isim nischayiv them. You too were exempt and now became chayiv. But you had a mila. Avosecha loyu aleim o machus. Your forefathers, the time of Yeshua, their kedusha was contingent on their own dominion over the land of Israel. Vatem, but in times of Ezra, af api shiyesh aleichem o machus, even though you were under the dominion of the kings of Persia, nonetheless the kedusha took effect. Avosecha, and so too, your advantages, avosecha, lo nischayiv ela achar ba'as reshona. Your forefathers took the 14 years of conquering in the body of the land before the kedusha took effect. But you came and shenichnastem ba, once you entered the land of Israel, nischayiv chayiv, then you immediately became chayiv midoraisa. Avosecha, and your forefathers, they only be lo nischayiv ela trash shekano kula. They only became chayiv when they conquered the entire land. Avolatem, but you, rishon, each part, at first come, first serve, as you conquer each portion of the land of Israel, koinom, you acquired whom is chayiv, becomes chayiv, and trumus amaitis midoraisa. Now, that's one opinion. Rabbi Lezer argues. Rabbi Lezer amar me'alein on their own, meaning the Rabbanan. Kibu alein as a maisos. All the maisos in Bayi Shein with the Rabbanan, not the Raisa. Why? Matam, what pasuk teaches us this? The Chassid, it says, ubechozos, nonetheless, even though we're not required to do so, the words bechozos sound like we're not required, but nonetheless, anachtu kosev amona, the people who return with Ezra said, we're making a covenant, the kosevim, and we're going to write down, v'alchosum, and we're going to sign it, so reinu, our officers, levienu, our levim, kohanenu, and our kohanim, and it says, reinu, pasuk, maaser, and maasenu, levim, we're going to give maaser, we're going to tie some land and give it to the levim. So really, according to his opinion, when they returned to Eretz Yisrael in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was rabbinic. And the Kavanoki brings down, you know why it was rabbinic? Because in order for Trumas, according to some opinions, according to this opinion, Rabbi Lozer, in order for Trumas might speak the rights, it's not just enough to acquire the land, but most Jews have to be living in the land of Israel. And the majority of Jews at that time remained in Bavel. Only 40,000 came up with Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay? So that's why it was the Rabbanan. So the more asking this, what's do with the rest of the pasuk, which says v'esbechoros b'koreinu v'tzonei, we accept upon ourselves to give b'chor. B'chor is the raisa, you can't make it. It's not the rabbanon. Give b'chor to koreinu is the raisa. So could the pasuk even refer to the raisas? Saying the more no. Mikem shkibalein dvarim shlo yuchay v'leim. Once accepted upon ourselves things today we're not required to accept. So that, you know, once they're writing a document, I feel dvarim shiyuchayov v'leim. Even things they would be chayav on anything. Helem akos. So the pasuk gives them credit. Kilim yaleim mikivum as if they're writing down the document was the original requirement, even though it wasn't. Well, it's a special credit we're giving the Olei Bavel, that since so many things they accepted on their own accord, it's as if they accepted even things which they were required to anyway to write on their own. The pasuk is giving them a nice pat on the back. Well, okay. Umamakam Rabbi Yosef Rechino, what's Rabbi Yosef says the rights are due with Bechozos. Nonetheless, we did it, which sounds like it's only the Rabbana, right? So it says, Marmikim Shkibalem, say, Parim Yafo, since they accept upon himself with a shining countenance, in other words, they were happy to accept mitzvahs. Hell alena, cost of the apostle, credit gives them credit. Kilim alena, kibulim, as if they accepted even the derisors upon themselves on their own accord. Maka says, Rabbanan, what is it with the Bible says, we restore, you'll conquer it. Ve'tiv chavir b'chom yafso, be an even greater conquest than your forefathers' conquest. He explains that's going on the eventual future when Mashiach comes. Your forefathers, Yoshua, Eretz Shiva Amim, they only inherited the land of the seven nations. When Mashiach comes, we'll get 10 lands. Right? Like the Likud symbol, you know, Al Shtei Gedot HaYordain, right, on both sides. So this one of the other Jewish ideologies is shoved by the wayside. So we're going to get three other nations. The Chassid, it says, Es HaKeniv, Es HaKeniziv, Es HaKadmoni. What are these? The Tanya learned Rabbi Meir Omer, that's Nabatia, which is in the south of Israel. Vara Rabbaya, Arabia, which is southeast. Who Shamaya? Not sure exactly where Shamaya is. No, it's not. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ardisikis, which is Damascus. Vasya, Asia Minor. Vaspamia, which is a city somewhere in Syria. If you take a look at your map Aleph. So where the little gimel is in the circle, Apamia, that's Aspamia. So that's the third land. Okay? See Aspamia? Okay, Apamia, that's Aspamia. So those lands are going to be eventually part of the promised land. Okay? Right, let's have been Yaakov Omar, Asia, which is Asia, the Turkey, which is Asia too, the Kartigni, Carthage, which is much further,
Northern Africa.
Northern Africa, right. I think Kartigny is Carthage. It might be somewhere else, though. Could be Kartigny. Yeah, I know, but I'm not sure. I'm assuming that's what it is, but I don't know that for a fact. Okay? In any event, says the Gemara, yet another interpretation, there's Minyakomer, Rabbi Udomer, Edom, Umov, Rachis, Bnei Amon. That's, if you look at Map Aleph, you see on the south, beginning on the southeast corner, you have Edom and Moab and Ammon, which were not part of Eretz Yisrael in the past, will be part of Eretz Yisrael in the future. I know why we want it. It's all desert and there ain't no oil there. But, in any event, that's all promised us. And concerning the eventual future Gula, the Mosa Mashiach, also we learn you'll be better than our forefathers, Avosecha, your forefathers. Even though they redeemed, they were eventually subjugated again. But in the world to come, only once you are redeemed, you will no longer ever be put under subjugation again. My time, what Pasuk teaches us is, Pasuk there says in Yeshaya, in Yirmiyah, excuse me, Shalu Naru, ask please and see im yuld yoled zacher, if a male can give birth. Kishem sheina zacher yoled, just like a male does not give birth. Kach atemish atenigal, so to you, once you are redeemed, od ein atemish tabdim, you can no longer be subjugated again. In other words, a goal is considered to be a birth, a negative birth, a labor, labor pains. So just like a male does not have labor pains, so to the ultimate future will not have any goals, any pains accompanying them.
Will these lands require
absolutely, that point is there's even an opinion that holds that nowadays when the Israeli army conquers lands, it becomes Kodesh B'Kodesh Shemitah. We don't pass from that way. Tanya, we learned. Remind me after Shia, I want to say something to you. I have something I want to say.
So we don't pass you that's considered Kibush
Rabbi. Israeli army nowadays. Yeah. That's what Tzitz Eliezer says. But nobody listens to him. If they did, it'd be devastating because all the Gush Katif stuff would be, Chaim and Trumas and Mises, and nobody takes Trumas and Mises off of that. Okay? Tanya learned. Now let's go to map. I think the best map to see this is map Bays. Actually, it's not a good map to see it. Map Gimel. If you walk from Akko to Xiv, you will notice that let me read the word. Mimino lemizrach, on your right to the east, you're going from Akko. You see Akko? Akko, you see the little aleph? That's Kziv. You go see a little bit south of that is Akko, right? It's no, Kziv actually exists. Kziv is around where Naria is, I think it is. It's Akko. Akko we know. Look at Matt Bays. You see he has Naria drawn in. Yeah, it's somewhat. So it's between Naria and Rosh HaNikra. Because Suma Shel Tzor is Rosh HaNikra. You can see that on Matt Bays. Okay? So name it. If you're walking from Akko to Xiv, so Miyamino on your right, Lemizrach to the east, Haderech, Torah, Bishmer Tami, that's Tor, it's not Chutz Loretz, right? It's not the land of the nations, because it's Eretz Yisrov, Chavis and Meisr, so Bishvis, Chavis and Meisr, Shvis, Achibol Chachibtur, unless you know that it's part of Chutz Loretz. Mismol and Maravadar, to your left, on the west, is Tomei Bishmer Tami, it's considered to be Chutz Loretz, who Ptur Mina Meisr, is an exempt from Meisr, Umina Shvis, Achibol Chachibtur, unless you know that this part, there's a particular piece of land which is part of Eretz Yisrael. Achuma Gzil Gziv until you reach Gziv. Ashma Rabbi Yosim Mishum Aviv Ad Lavlavu. This is true. The same halacha about this trip applies to even further north to the city of Lavlavu. And I don't know where Lavlavu is. I don't think it's on any of these maps.
This map really shows Gziv outside of
Eretz Yisrael. Now, this caused a lot of confusion. We learned it. This Sugya. Because Rashi didn't understand it, and the Ramban didn't understand it, because they never saw maps of Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't understand, they didn't have it to worship God. Right, because the Gemara knew it. But Rashi, if you learn Rashi and Ramban, it gets very confusing, because they didn't know exactly where Akko Ksiv were. So, but here you see clearly that they didn't conquer the seashore. If you look further down the map, you see consistently the seashore was really not theirs. A lot of parts of the seashore were not theirs, right? That's the way it was. Okay? What? That must be why they didn't conquer it. Akko Atzma Mai. What's the status of Akko itself? So here we have fascinating Gemara. And it was really fascinating. The whole Gemara here is fascinating. What's the halacha of Akko? Rav Acha bar Yaakov Shem Rabbi Yami said, Mitrei uvodoy the Rebbe, two mice from two episodes that took place with Rebbe, on any Alfin, we derive the Akko Yeshbo Mishum Eretz Yisrael, Akko is elements of Eretz Yisrael, Yeshbo Mishum Chutzon has elements of Chutzon as well. The Rebbe Yava Bakko, Rebbe was an Akko. Chamsud Ochlin Pita Nekiyah. He saw them eating very good fine bread. Now, you only get very good fine bread if you moisten it first. Remember, I told you, you know, like the dagon, you only moisten it, and he moistened it first because Roy Lekabel Tuma. So he was upset because in Eretz Yisrael they tried to avoid making grain that fine and that good because that would imply that you're going to make bread susceptible to Lekabel Tuma at a much earlier stage when people who might have access to it who are Tomei.
Say that the baker was a
chaver,
he wasn't an
amal. It seems out of takana not to do it that way. So he got upset. He said, "Mato, mato, latatin. What are you doing? You're moistening the grain. It's no good." So this is in Akko. So it must be that Akko is partially at least Eretz Yisrael. Amrule, so they said to him, no, they tried to excuse themselves. They said, Tamid Echot Barlakan, certain individual came to here, for Hoyerlano Paskin for us, Hamay Beitim, that egg water, Shay Makshir is not Makshir Kabel Tuma. And we said, Vanan Chalkin Bain, and we cooked eggs, the latatine, and we moistened the grain, Ben May Mayon, with the water in which we cooked the eggs. So it's not Moshe Lekabel Tuma. Oyvei, says Gemara. Savin Meimar Meishel Shabetim. They thought that that Talmud meant that the water in which eggs are cooked is not Moshe Lekabel Tuma. But what that Talmud really meant is Vino Lomar Ela Beitim Atzmon. What he meant is the yolk of an egg is not Moshe Lekabel, not the yolk, the white of an egg. It's not Moshe Lekabel Tuma because it's not a beverage. So Rabbi Yaakov are eating Beosashrav, and that time Gozru, they made a Gzera, Shloya Talmud Moire Ora. A Talmud Shever Paskin, because people misunderstand him, he doesn't know how to Paskin properly. That's why he needs Smicha. Rabbi Chia B'Shem Rav Chuna said, Talmud Shohoira, a Talmud Paskin, Afil Kaloch, even after if he got it right. Ain't a Ross or a Ross, his Psak is not a valid Psak. Tan, we learned. Talmud Shora Aloch Livne Rabba, Talmud Upon, now we're off on a tangent. A Talmud Upon, in front of his Rebbe, Chayamisa, is liable to death penalty. Tani, we learned B'Shem Rabbi Lezer, name Rabbi Lezer, well, Mesu Noda Vaviu, Navil did not die if for any other reason, El Shorbi, name Moshe Rabban, only because they passed in front of Moshe and their Rebbe. Is a certain student who passed along in front of Rabbi Lezer's Rebbe. And Rabbi Lezer said to Ima Shalom, that was his wife's name, whoops, this Talmud who passed in front of me, he's not going to complete this week. And, of course, he dropped dead before next Shabbos. You must be a prophet. They were Lubavitchers.
Well, they were eavesdroppers.
Eavesdroppers,
because he's supposed to direct this to his wife.
Yeah. They heard him speaking, right. Amalansi said, Lo Novi Anochi, Lo Ben Novi Anochi. I'm not a prophet, I'm not a son of a prophet. I have a tradition. Any Talmud Paskin Zaloch in front of his Rebbe, Chayav Misa is liable to be liable for death, Bidei Shamayim, of course. Tani, we learned also Tami Loro Saloch Liv Nerabo, it's forbidden for a Tami to pass in front of his Rebbe, Achu Rochik Mimenu Shnemasar Mil, unless he's 12 mil distant from his Rebbe's place. How do we learn that? Kamach Neisrael. Just like nobody in the camp of Israel was allowed to pass it, because all considered to be the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to be distant 12 mil from Rebbe before you pass it. Matam Apostle teaches us that the Bnei Yisrael's camp was 12 mil in span. The encampment of the Jews was from Be'ovet Beis Shimos until Ove Shilti Shitim. The Kam, we have a tradition, this is in the Bavli too, that how far is that? Shneimasar mil, that's 12 mil in length. Kadar Rabbi Tanchum Barchia. Similarly, we have Maisek the Sari Tan Rechia Hava Bechefer. It was a certain town in called Chefer. Vava Sholin Lane. They asked some Shilas. Vava Marini Paskin them. Amalei said, Lo kein ilfen Rabbi, didn't you tell us, Rabbi? Show us the Talmid Loras Aloch and the Rabbo. The Talmid cannot pass in front of his Rabbi. Achirochim better shnei masar mil until he's 12 mil distant from him. Kimachni, so like they were in the camp in the desert. For Rabbi Muna, Rabbach and Rabbi Muna, your Rabbi. Yossi Bitzmarin is in Tzipori, which is within 12 mil. Amarlun, so he said, Yesi Olai, they should come upon me, the Loyot, if I didn't know. Had I known, I would not have done it, of course. Nei Shaitim at that time, Lahore, he didn't paskin, even though his city was not, he was in a different city, because the city was within 12 mil of his Rebbe's location. Right, Rebbe, now that's one Maisa with Rebbe Nako. There's another Maisa with Rebbe, which indicates that Akko had part of it was Eretz Yisrael. There's another Maisa with Rebbe Nako. Rebbe Avabako, Chama Chad Barnashi, saw a certain individual, saw him, he keeps saying that it was going over the bridge. Over the bridge. Amar Lei said, Leisa Bray, the pilot coin, aren't you the son of so and so Cohen? So wasn't your father Cohen? So if you're Cohen, what are you not allowed to do?
You
can't leave Eretz Yisrael, right? Because it's Tommy outside Eretz Yisrael. So how you can leave? So the guy said, Einov shel abba hayu gvoros. My father's eyes were haughty. Nasa Isha Shayna Ogenestone, she married a woman who was forbidden to him, meaning a Gerusha. The Chilos Oisha, and he defiled me. In other words, I'm a Cholo, I'm allowed therefore to go into Chutz Laretz. Tani, we learned. Tchume Eretz Yisrael Shel Chziku Oli Bavel. The boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, which Oli Bavel captured. Now, some of the cities which are mentioned here are on Map Gimel, but I'm not going to go and look for all of them right now. But you can find many of them on Map Gimel. They are. These cities are Parshas Ashkelon. I'm just going to read through the list. Parshas Ashkelon, Chomas Migdal Shir, Shena Deror, Shura Dako, Vekatsu Degalila, Ukvarto, Ubeis Anisa, Vekubaya, Umilcha Dekur, Uburye Rapsa, Vetafnis, Vesanpato, Umecharsa Diyasir, Umematsio Didavasa, Verosh Mei Gaton, the Gaton Atzma, Gaton itself, Umei Sfar, Umachreshes, Umidal Choruv, Vulam Rabsa, Venukvasa Diyun, the Chakeres, the Charko Rabba, Ubar San Gada, the Tanigolo Eloa Dileem and Kisori, which Tanigolo Eloa, the Fire Rooster, that was the name of the town, above, which is north of Kisori, of Caesarea, the Tarkuna de Mitcham Lebatra, the Tarkuna, which is in the vicinity of Batra. Umalach the Zarboy, Vinamri Nabe Sakli, Uknas, Virafach, I think that's Rafiach. Viderach Agdoyalach Zmidbar on the great highway to the desert, the Cheshbon, Vyavka, Vinachla de Zored, Urakam Kea, Viginayat Ashkelon, the gardens of Ashkelon. All these are part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Says more Ashkelon Atzmo Mao. What about Ashkelon itself? Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yaakov Shem Rabbi Zira said, Mimad the Tani Ginayad Ashkelon, it says Ginayad Ashkelon was part of Eretz Yisrael. Hodamra Ashkelon Tzmar Klachutz, must be Ashkelon itself is outside, as you see in Map Gimel. See Ashkelon is outside? Suzuki, see where Ashkelon is? Ashkelon is outside the land of Israel. Okay? Tani, we learned Rabbi Simon B'Shem Rabbi. Right. Ashkelon Ladorum, Ashkelon Kidorum. That's right, it's on the south. That's the first Mishkan Git. Tani, we learned Rabbi Simon B'Shem Rabbi Chalifoy said, and Rabbi and Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi Ben Akfar, both said, interesting thing. So Gemara is going to pick up on this for some time. Nimno Alavir Ashkelon, they voted on the airspace of Ashkelon, and V'tiaru, they said it's tar, even though it's chutzlars. Normally, all land of chutzlars is tame. They made an exception. Pirai Pirchus Ben Yor, based on the testimony of Pirchus Ben Yor, Shomer said, Yoyim Ayinu L'sirki Shel Ashkelon. We would go down to the marketplace in Ashkelon, the Shuk. The Lochin Chitin would take grain. By the way, we just barely done two blocks so far, right? We just made it right now, right? Not quite yet? Not quite, you're right. Okay. It's easy, Gemara. It's just very long, but it's like brachas in the morning. This is nice. He said, we would go down the Maya place in Ashkelon, the Lochim Chidim would take grain, boiling the rain, would go back to our own city, the Tovlin would go to the Mikvah, Ochim Truma Saint Larry, and we would eat Truma that night. Now, the key is they would eat Truma that night. If Ashkelon was like Chutzarts, how long would they have to eat to wait to eat Truma?
First off, they had to wait till the next day to be Tovlin.
More than that. Because they were goes to what Tuma on it? What tumas chutzlar have? Tumas mace. It's like entering a graveyard. Well, if you enter a graveyard, how long do you have to wait? A week. And you have to also? And? What process do you have to undergo?
You have to go through the whole thing of paraduma?
Paraduma, right. Anytime a kohen go to chutzlar, it's... What? That's right. Anytime a kohen goes to Chutz Lartz, he wants to come back and eat Truma, he's got to go through the Paraduma process. So if Ashkelon was a Chutz Lartz, he wouldn't be able to go to the mikvah that night and go to the, go eat Truma that night. He would have to go through 7 days plus Paraduma ashes. So we see clearly that it was, they didn't give it a loch of Chutz Lartz. Why? Because it's so close to Eretz Yisrael. It was too close. They couldn't give it a loch of Chutz Lartz. The next day after they heard this testimony, they vote on it after they pass its Torah, yet they still they said they vote on it that should be exempt from Maestros, and they concluded exempt. So it has a contradictory halacha. It's a paradox. It's not Chutz Lartz vis-a-vis Tuma, it's Torah, but it's Chutz Lartz vis-a-vis Maestro. Whatever grows there is exempt from Maestro.
Louis Ginsburg wouldn't say that it's contradictory.
Well, this Rabbi Shmuel was displeased with this. Marshal Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is Yadav. He drew out of this. Shamistamech al Ben Akfar, because he was relying on Ben Akfar. Yossi Ben Akfar said it was to the land that the airspace is Torah. He said if the airspace is Torah, then we have to take Truma, to Truma's and Mises off there. We can't make this paradoxical statement. Amar Lo, as he said, B'ni, Lo Amar Toli, Mimnei Ma'amashach, Tis Yadecha Mimenu. You didn't ask me. So he said, Rabbi Shmuel Yossi said to one of the other people there, I'm not sure exactly to who, I guess to Ben Akfar. He said, you didn't ask me why I withdrew from this whole thing. I would have told you. Now let me tell you. In terms of Tumantara of Eretz Amim is a Durabona. So I'm a Tame. It's like, hey, Momru. We have the right to declare some areas Tome and some areas Torah. But now, on the other hand, I'm afraid that perhaps it was conquered by the Jews at some point in history. In that case, Hechani Pochim Midvar Torah can exempt it from the Chiyuv Maisos, which is the Deraisa. Now, he obviously holds the Merkav Nogi Boitzav, Kedush Rishon Kitchel Shaita Vikitchel Asilavo. It's a machlokas in the Bavli, right, where the first Kedush of Holy Mitzrayim was permanent. Till now, Sugi held it was not. So we obviously held it was. And there was a frame. Maybe at some point in the past, Ashkelon was conquered. And there was Chaim Midoraisa. And the Gemara is in fact going to bring Psukim, which indicate that Ashkelon was at one point conquered, which is going to strengthen Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi in Shoftim. Yeah, in Shoftim. No, in Shoftim. Shoftim. It was conquered. The first Pekin in Shoftim. Vemosait me mishum madoramim. This is kind of a tangent, but it's still relevant to the main issue. Even in Eretz Yisrael, a house in which a goy has lived for 40 days is tummy. Why do you think that's true?
She gave birth to a
very good boy. You guys are on the ball. She had, you mamish think Talmudic now. She gave birth, that's right. So rest, you got it on the spot. She might have given birth to a nafil after 40 days, was a bona fide nafil, and buried it in the house, so therefore it's tummy.
We've had it before.
No, I don't know. In this context, still, I don't know. I'm impressed. All right, so now, what about Ashkelon? Does Ashkelon, you have to wait 40 days, after they made this exam, the Ashkelon store, the houses were going to live, do they have to wait 40 days from now? or since goyim lived there before, so it counts the time they lived there before. And every house where there is a goy is tummy. Okay, so that's what Gemara says. Am Rabbi Simon, Mishatishag Zer, once a Zer is made, Arboim Yom. Still, you need another 40 days for each house of a goy to become tummy. Arbi said, no. That which you assumed was tummy till now was a mistake. It was Torah till now, right? But the houses of the goyim, that makes no difference, right? El miyadi tamei v'shum eretz tamei. Each and every house where a goy was, that we're afraid maybe there's a nevel there. So immediately that's tamei because of eretz tamei, even though 40 days did not pass from the time that the gzeir of Tara was decreed. Amar Rabbi Mana said, lo kedem Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yaakov Barach b'shem Rabbi Zira. Isn't it obvious that Ashkel is exempt from Maestros? Didn't Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi say b'shem Rabbi Zira? Mean ma the tani ginayat Ashkelon, from that which ginayat Ashkelon is included in Eretz Yisrael. Hoda mara Ashkelon chutz from this derived Ashkelon is outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it's obviously exempt from Trumas and Maestros. Doesn't matter. No, it's not a raya, because I'll tell you why. B'chitzur enu osalech l'shom. Listen to this. Tzor. Look at Tzor on the map. See how far Tzor is outside Eretz Yisrael? It's higher, right? But Tzor is if you go, it's also for a coin to go there. But nonetheless, v'akoyin shalmeinu mitzchayim. Think somebody doesn't buy land, buys land there is exempt from trumas and maestros. If you bought land in Tyre, you have to take trumas and maestros off of it. Midrabbana, because it's in the vicinity of Eretz Yisrael. So that's why there's a major havamina by Ashkelon. If on Tyre, which is so far from Eretz Yisrael, say made Xer, you have to take off Meiser. So certainly they should make such a Xer in Ashkelon.
Did they do it to Syria anyway, that they had to give
Syria, but this is not even Syria.
I understand.
Yeah.
Syria,
but this is part of Zone B. You're right. This is a valid point you're raising. You're correct, actually. It looked bad back at Map Aleph. You see, this is part of Zone B, right? Remember, Zone A is the area conquered by Oli Bavel. Zone B is the area conquered by Oli Mitzrayim. So actually, you're giving, what you're saying is correct. Both Zone Bs are Chayiv and Trumas and Maisas the Rabbana. Right? And that's why we have to say that Ashkelon is not even Zone B, it's Zone C. It's the outside of Eretz Yisrael altogether. That's why it's a Kiddush, and that's why the Gemara had to tell us. That's what it says. The Lotis Bor Meimer of Hochakin, you shouldn't think that Ashkelon is part of Zone B. The Vichal Nima Lo Pochim and Maisas, that's why we say explicitly state that they made a vote and they exempted from Maisas. Let's just go a little bit further. Rabbi Simon, so far behind. Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Avo, Havu Yosvin Varmi, they were sitting and saying, Vaksiv, wait a minute. Since was it possible, we didn't have him. Vayilkol Yudas Azov as Gula Yuda conquered Azov and its area. They say Azov. Azov should be part of Eretz Yisrael. As Ashkelon as Gula, it says Yuda conquered Ashkelon and its area. They say Ashkelon. See, Ashkelon is part of Eretz Yisrael. Me'ato also says more with it. That's the end of the kasha. Says more with it. Me'ato, if that's the case, Hahei Nacham Mitzrayim. It mentions there Nacham Mitzrayim too. It says in Melachim, somewhere else. It says that Am Yisrael came from Nacham Mitzrayim. So up till Nacham Mitzrayim should be Kodesh, should be also part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael. See where Nacham Mitzrayim is? Look at Map Aleph. Vadi El Arish. See that? Now, Meir Kahana held Nachum Mitzrayim is the Nile. I heard him say that once. But most sources hold it's a little Vadi called Vadi El Arish, which is near El Arish, shockingly enough, right? So that's clearly outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yet there were Jews living there. Says that when they came up by Bais Rishon, there were Jews who came up from that area. So how do we reconcile that? Says, what I'll tell you. There are areas which were conquered by Jews but are not part of Eretz Yisrael. That's a very, very interesting premise, which is not presented again in the Bavli, but is presented here in Yerushalmi, which might be the logic to argue in the Tzitz Eliezer, to say that land can be conquered by Jews and not considered to be Eretz Yisrael. And I'm bringing a ride for that. I'm Rabbi Shuvah Levi, it says, Ksiv. It says, Vayivrach Yiftach fled Mipnei Achav, Vayeshaber Tzavi dwelt in the land of Tov, which is somewhere in the Eivar Yarden. Zusu Sita. the area called Susita. I think they're actually one of the maps. If you take a look at Map Gimel, Susita is right on the eastern bank of the Kinneret. See that? Kinneret. You don't know where the Kinneret is? Map Gimel.
Yeah, that would be
Ein Harod, I think. Yeah, it's Kibbutzim. Yeah. Susita. Oh, so in any event, I mapped out a map Bays, which is much larger. You can see it even clearer, actually. See, it actually says Eretz Tov there. Okay, so it's the southern part of the Golan. Okay? So Eretz Tov, so that land was owned by Jews. You see that, right? It's part of Oli Mitzrayim, part of even Oli Bavel. And nonetheless, Vilomini Kroshma Tov, why was it called Tov? She peturim in a Maisel Shvius, because it's exempt from Maisel Shvius. So that's why it's called good. So the Mashbiach, this is the first time I saw the Kavanaki quote the Mashbiach. The Mashbiach asked the Kasha, how can you call land which was exempt from Trumas and Maisel Tov? It's bad, it's ra. So he says, it says that Yiftach went and joined the Chevra of Anoshim Reikin, of people who were, low people. So these people, they were sinners. So they called it Tov because it's exempt from Trumas and Maisros. Okay? So that's why, so we see the lands which are conquered by Ole Mitzrayim and even Ole Bavel, which nonetheless belongs to Gushav Eretz Yisrael. And the truth is, there's a very famous case of that, which we didn't get to yet, but we'll get to later on, which is Beit Shan. Beit Shan, Gemara Chulin tells us explicitly, was not part of Eretz Yisrael, vis-a-vis Mitzvahs, Trumas and Mitzvahs, and Shvi'is. And look where Beit Shan is, it's dead center, right? You see that? Both on Map Gimel and Map Beis and Map Gimel. Yeah, it's even on the western part of the western part of the Jordan River. So nonetheless, it's going to be Chutzpah. There's Beit Shan. Okay. Okay. So let's just go again. Let's just go a little bit further. Rabbi Ami Boy, Velami Mali Misenin. Wait a minute. But still, they pay taxes from Ashkelon. They pay taxes. So you pay taxes to the Israeli government. You're an Israeli, right? So this is where I know. So Rabbi Ami,
this land, this is
Ashkelon,
conquered by Oli Bavel, conquered by Oli Mitzrayim.
Right, but it was explicitly excluded. Right, explicitly excluded. They made it tonight when they conquered it. This land will not be considered part of Eretz Israel. Yes. Right.
Shemitah was required.
No. Same thing. They're linked. Shemitah too. Okay, we'll get to all these issues later on. Rabbi Ami Boy, Velami Mali Misenein. Wait, didn't they pay taxes from there? So Rabbi Ami, we should scout him. Rabbi Ami thought people who pay taxes are conquered. Ha ha. Little did he know. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochmei, but once we're on the topic, so Shmuel Bar Yochmei, Sholosh Pristigios, which is a Greek word for decrees. Sholach, or ultimatums, actually, is a better word. Sholach Yoshua l'Eretz Yisrael, Shalonik, Chos to l'Eretz. Yoshua sent Eretz Yisrael before they end the land of Israel. Mishurot Yifnos, anybody wants to leave, Yifneh should leave. Hashim, anybody wants to make peace, Yashlim can make peace. Lassos Milchoma, anybody wants to make war, Yaseh. It's very interesting more because we know that by Yeshiva Amit says Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, supposed to eradicate them. But this is the Rambam brings down, that you're supposed to first offer them peace. It's not unilateral genocide. If they want to make peace, then you can make peace with them. Okay? On our terms, but you can make peace with them. All right? Girgashi. That's what we're saying here. Girgashi, Ponavachal Africa. The Girgashi went to Africa. Vamiya Kosh Baruch, and they believed Hashem. And it says, they get Schar, Ksiv, Aboy, Velokakti, Schemeleret, Schar, Schar, I'll take you to a land like your own land, Zu Africa. He gave them a special portion of Africa. Givonim, Ishlimu, they made peace. The Ksiv, Ishliki, Ishlimu, Yoshve, Givonim, Israel. They made peace with the Jews. Shloshim, Echom, Malachim, Osim, Elchom, the 31 kings made war, and Venoflu, Lohem. They fell as a result. How far are we from Omer Aleph, by the way?
10 more lines.
Okay, so let's go to Omer Aleph and then we start. Minema lo gosu oso ruach shebedar gardike. Now, they left Gardike also exempt from Eretz Umasami. Gardike is Gror. If you take a look at Map Gimli, you see if you go south of Ashkelon, southwest between Ashkelon and Beersheba is Gror. Avram lived there for a little time. Yitzchak lived in Gror. Yeah, Yitzchak and Avimelech, they made their pact in Gror. Okay, so in Gror. So Gror was not included in Tumas Chutzah. That's why not. Rabbi Simon Shem, Rabbi Shimon Levi, same nation of Aliyah, because its dwelling places are Ra, are lousy. It stinks there. And therefore people are not going to go there anyway, so they didn't make a gzeir on it. So Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Nacha Mitzrayim. The whole area between Gror and Nacha Mitzrayim doesn't have Tumas Eretz Amin. That's all and the Gaza Strip. So says Mark, wait a minute. Farei Azo, no, yeah, Yofa. And Azo is a beautiful place to live, not nowadays. In the old days, a beautiful place to live. So they should make it also because of Eretz Amin. Says Mark, Pishpisha. Yeah, but since Gror is bad, when you go from Gror to Azo, it's unhealthy. To go from a bad place to a good place is not healthy. So therefore, people wouldn't go to Azo, were not going to frequent Azo either, so therefore they weren't going to Tumas Eretz Amim on it. Okay? Even though it's good, since it's close proximity to Gror, and people can't go back and forth, it's unhealthy, so therefore they weren't going to Tumas Eretz Amim. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, She'ilis Ravacha asked Ravacha, what about this area? Vishara, and he was matured. Now, a very interesting case here. Take a look again at Map Gimel. A map dot Bays, it also has it in larger detail, but Map Gimel actually has a row. You can look at map Bays. It's okay. Map Bays. Rabbi Zira Azal L'Chamsa the Pacho. You went to Chamsa. No, you need Map Gimel. By the little dollar of Map Gimel. See by the little dollar? There are two cities near each other, Chamsa de Pacho and Pacho. Okay? Rabbi Yirmiyah, now these are technically both in Eretz Yisrael, but they're not. That's what Gemara is going to say. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Zero, Azal, Chamsa de Pacho, Vava, Chamar Garmei, he saw it, that he was sitting, Yosef Levar min Dikliya de Bavel. He was sitting outside the row of palm trees, which was planted by the Oli Bavel as the boundary. So somewhere in that area was a boundary. He was sitting outside of it. Shalach l'shalach shal Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Rabbi Chia bar Abba shal l'trein benoid the Rabbi Yosef the Dama. He asked Rabbi Chia bar Abba, did I do something wrong? I guess he was a Kohen. And Rabbi Chia bar Abba asked for the two sons Rabbi Yosef the Dama. Rabbi Leah, they said, no, it's okay. Nigin kanaya mataya atamod. The place he was sitting, the Kohanim would still sit. In other words, you can go a little bit beyond the palm trees and still not be Tomei. So Rabbi Zira did not become Tomei when he went there. Okay? So the palm trees are not the absolute boundaries. Now, along these lines, very interesting, Laura. Kanaya, the Kohanim, Shom Rabbi Yochanan, asked Rabbi Yochanan. Hain Chuta. Chuta literally means the thread, but here it means the derech, the highway. The Chuta de Nova Mau. Now, you take a look at Map Gimel. You see, along where the bays is, there's a little dotted line. It starts in Nova and ends in Botra. So you see that? So the Kohanim asked Rabbi Yochanan, when we start traveling from Nova, how far can we go until the Siddiqut starts? Amar lo'alon Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Chunia de Bras Chavron. So Rabbi Yochanan said to them, "Nay, Rabbi Chunia Bras Chavron, Nagin Kanaya Matia Deroy." The Kohanim go all the way up to Deroy. Vahen, and then beyond Deroy, Vahen Chutz de Butzraya, they would continue on the road of Butzraya Ad Pardesa up to a certain orchard where they know the boundary was. So that orchard was between Deroy and Botzra on that road. Okay? Are we still on Amr Alf? Amr Abba, I'm almost out of tape. Amr Abba, Yesh Ayor, Shul Kutim, Shinogu, Bam Hattim, Moshe, Shul, Benun, Vein, Mutars, certain, as we learned, there are certain cities in Eretz Yisrael which belong to Goyim, from days of Yeshua, and they are exempt. They're permitted for Shvi's, Trumas, and Maises. Rabbi Yossi, Bay, Miata, Loya, Chushu, Kwanim, Achaloson. If that's the case in those cities, the Kohanim shouldn't be concerned to eat the challah as tor, because the challah is not really a chiv. We see the Rabbanan are do make sure you eat the challah in those cities as they are tar. I'm Rabbi Ben Pazi. La begin milsa da'at amars. It's not because they're there, they have no kedusha whatsoever. That you're like you're assuming. I begin to lo chaltos and machusa biyada. It's because the kings took away the fields from us. It's a very interesting thing. In Trumas and Maisris, we have to own the fields. Otherwise, we're exempt from Trumas and Maisris. Vis-a-vis chala, as to with whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael, even if it doesn't grow in our fields. So these cities of the Kutim, it was they were exempt from Trumas and Maisris because the stuff wasn't growing in fields owned by Jews.